Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Circle of Respect January Book Club podcast. This month, we're featuring Bullying and Me, Schoolyard Stories, which really focuses on a lot of the personal stories that we've received from the author and the photographer, and we're going to talk with them today about some of the issues that have come out of this book, as well as some of their perspectives in working with the youth and collecting these stories. So we're joined today by Wesi Shapiro, the author of the book, and Stephen Vogt, the photographer. Thank you both for joining us today. We're really happy to have you.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
So, Wesi, we're just going to start quickly with you, and Stephen, please jump in. You both really have a history with working around children's issues. I know you guys also did the book Autism and Me, the sibling stories. What sort of motivates you in your work with children, and how did that sort of transpire to have you work on this book and the bullying issue?
Well, in my case, it all stems from, I think, personal relationships, because the autism book started as a result of my having a niece with autism, and I was very curious about how my nephew, who's typical, was experiencing having a sibling with autism, and it got me interested in dealing with issues, you know, and issues that affect children, and I saw that when I was looking around for another topic that affects kids in our society today, and I noticed that bullying was all over the newspapers. I was just reading about stories everywhere. And so I broached the topic to the publisher, and they agreed that it was such a hot topic and something that it would be really good to address.
And just sort of pulling that in for some of the work that we do here, I would also encourage our readers and listeners to check out the book Autism and Me. Some of the work that we do also focuses on the bullying of persons with disabilities and things like that. So there really is a tie there if you're trying to engage some of your youth in discussions around both of these issues. Just sort of pulling to another point, there are such a diverse group of children and experiences represented in the book. I think sometimes we have a vision of what a target of bullying looks like or what a bully looks like. And really, this book really captures that anyone can be one or the other and that the experiences are shared by a number of our youth today. Can you sort of talk about how you went about collecting the stories and sort of the process behind pulling it all together?
The first thing I did was I contacted schools. I live in New York City, and I contacted schools in and around New York. And I also contacted parent web groups, and I contacted friends and acquaintances and asked people if they'd like to share their stories of having been bullied or, in fact, of being bullies themselves. And what I found, surprisingly, was that so many kids who are bullied or have been bullied they feel almost ashamed of having been bullied, and they don't want to talk about it. And that was a really surprising find for me. I would think that, you would normally think, well, the kids that are bullying me should be punished and they should be exposed. But kids have a sense of shame about it. And so in trying to find kids, it was very, very difficult. It took some persuasion on my part and on Stephen's part. I mean, Stephen had to explain to a lot of the people that participated in the book that we would be glad not to reveal their faces and their identities in order to get their experiences. And so that was something, actually, that was a challenge that Stephen faced in trying to photograph kids who didn't want to be revealed.
That's right, Wesi.
That's
Andrew. He's a very nice young man. He's at the front of the book. They're all nice kids, of course. I would echo what you said there, Wesi, in from a visual point of view, how to capture the essence and, if you like, the soul of a person who perhaps is hurting so much on the inside, but also is actually in fear and doesn't want to necessarily reveal their self. So the dilemma, which turned out to be actually quite exciting, was how to still capture that person on pixels and yet at the same time give them a degree of anonymity. And I actually very much enjoyed that at the end of the day.
Yes, I remember one young woman, Stephen, that we were photographing. She was, when we did the photography, when we had the session with her, she was unsure at the time about whether she wanted to be identified or not. So you had to do two sets of photographs.
That's right. We ended up evolving in the middle of the photo shoot, didn't we? A lot of the first photographs, it was Emily, and a lot of the photographs in the beginning were perhaps she was in the shadows or more silhouetted, or if there was even one shot which may have not have made it to the actual final book where she had her hands in front of her face. But in the process of it, she felt emboldened, braver, I guess, and very bravely said, "No, I want my face to be seen." So that was a good thing.
Was that something that surprised you after she had sort of been hiding so much in some of the other photos? Did it surprise you that she later said, "No, finally, I want to do this"?
I was surprised. Because I had spoken to her with her several times, and I had spoken with her parents as well. And she at first was very reluctant to share her story at all. And then when she did agree to do it, she was pretty clear that she didn't want to be identified. And then, I don't know, during the photo shoot and the more we talked, I think she felt more comfortable, and she felt that it was something that she would be able to share openly with readers. And finally she called me and she said, I've decided that I want to be seen. And I was surprised by that. I was gladdened, but I was also surprised.
It was a brave act, and it's like many people who stand up. I mean, I think, and I can certainly understand the person, the kid, the child who wants to keep it anonymous. It would make sense in many ways, but For that young woman to stand up, it was like standing up in a way to the bullies, like, here I am, I don't care anymore, you know.
Yeah. And that's very empowering, it seems like, for a young person to finally say, I'm not going to hide from it anymore. It just means so much. Just, you know, we think of it, oh, she's not going to hide in the picture, but perhaps maybe she's not going to hide anymore from the issue that she's facing.
Right, which is, I think, exactly what happened, because she said in the end that if it were to happen to her again, she would handle things differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sense of shame that she felt and embarrassment at having been bullied, I think those feelings changed. And I think she realized in the end that, you know, she was a victim, and that she needed to tell people that I've been victimized by these people.
So just we see this is one of the perceptions of bullying, and we've sort of touched on this a little bit, is that there's sort of traditional playground conflict, and this is what we see. There might be little arguments, little spats on the playground. How have you seen, sort of working on this book, bullying behavior and its impact change over the years, or just change across people and from what we normally think of it as?
I think that what surprised me, and I mean, I'm not an expert on bullying, but although the book, you know, throughout the book, the readers can see that we worked with an educational psychologist who she kind of guided us along, and she and we found at the same time that a lot of the bullying now is cyberbullying, and it's over the internet, and it can be even more damaging, because I think once the message is out there, you can't take it back. And it's available to so many people. So if you're saying something mean about somebody, it's, you know, the whole world can see it. And it's humiliating for these kids. And, you know, getting punched and getting bullied at the playground, I mean, that's tame compared to what's going on now.
Yeah, I would certainly agree that cyberbullying, it makes it seems like a problem that children can't tackle. We teach them so much that the internet is so large and so huge, and sometimes it feels very overwhelming when they are being cyberbullied. Certainly agree with that.
Yeah, and we've seen cases of kids that, you know, that were so traumatized by the bullying that they committed suicide. Mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of cases, it's as a result of the cyberbullying. So I think it's, I mean, it's very hard now for adults, parents, and teachers to ignore any kind of bullying that goes on.
So sort of piggybacking off of the mention of parents, one of the things I noticed in reading the books was still, you know, despite what parents might think or despite, you know, all the efforts that we do to increase awareness on bullying, it's still very hard for young people to talk to an adult or a parent for fear of shame or, you know, being labeled a snitch or any of that. So, Stephen, I just kind of wanted to touch on you. What do you think, one, are some of the challenges that parents face in really keeping up on this issue, and what sort of advice would you give maybe to parents and youth on how to sort of improve those communications, or what are some ways that we can work together to help that open up?
Robin, I think we live in a all of the awareness around bullying in more recent years is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And bullying probably will never go completely away. It's a human, part of a human condition, frankly, I feel. But there's perceptions and ways of doing things that have traditionally been par for the course, if you like, that are fading and hopefully will go away completely. I met a mother the other day, and she was commenting on the book, and she shared that her child was bullied, and she was bullied. But what surprised me at the very end, she says, "But of course, it's just like a rite of passage." And she's a woman of my generation, and she felt that bullying was kind of essential and a rite of passage, despite her being bullied and her child being bullied. But I would say that she is in getting more towards a minority. I think people more and more are saying, well, it doesn't have to be a rite of passage. And the stigma, you talk about snitching, the stigma of approaching parents, and particularly I think a lot of school-age bullying happens in schools, and parents are either naive to the fact that their children are bullies, or they perhaps be naive even to the fact that their children are being bullied. I think parents and teachers and administrative folks in schools are in some ways are on the front line. And I know in the area that I live in Western Massachusetts, many of the schools have taken in a lot of initiatives where, and it's also reflected in the book, because we did a shoot in New Hampshire, I believe it was, and there's a lot of schools are really incorporating a much closer union where teachers, when I was a kid, would turn a blind eye, frankly. Growing up in Australia, it was just like, well, you know, it's none of my business. And I'm excited to think and to say that more and more teachers and people in schools are jumping in and playing a big part in lessening, reducing, and hopefully maybe eliminating bullying completely.
That's a good point.
I would add just one thing to that, which is that I think that bullying, referring to it as a rite of passage, I think is true to some degree, but I think it's when it crosses over into threatening behavior. And I think that's where, when it crosses that line, I think that's when it becomes dangerous, and that's when adults need to act on it. And I think that that's where, you know, the rub is, as it were.
Certainly there is a line that needs to be drawn, and I think in some ways it is being drawn, as we see, you mentioned earlier, as we see some of the more serious impacts of bullying when children are committing suicide or harming themselves. Certainly we're getting into an area where it's a serious problem. And Stephen, you also, I don't want the parents who listen to the podcast to miss on the point that you made about admitting when you're maybe being naive when your child is a bully, or when your child is being bullied. I think sometimes, as you said, parents just kind of want to know it could never be my child, or they just don't quite even know how to deal with that issue. So certainly for the parents who are listening, to consider maybe engaging in conversation with your child and admitting to some of those things that you may not want to admit to.
That's a touchy point, but I'm so glad you brought it up, Robin. I'm a parent. I mentioned the schools in my area. I have three small boys, all very close in age. And I know that I talked about the human condition and other parents are proud of their kids. I think most parents, virtually all, if not all parents, love and are very proud of their kids. It's very tough for a parent, I would imagine, to think of your child as a bully. You know, that's a hard thing to confront, I think. And so, you know, my little angel, I sound a little cynical there, but you know, I'm a parent, and I, you know, you think your kids can do no wrong in many ways, and sadly, I don't think that's always the case, you know, and bullying, as mentioned, as Wheezy covered in the book by talking with the kids, sometimes is almost like a pendulum thing where some children are bullies, and then they end up swinging to the other side and becoming bullied. So it's a complex issue.
Certainly, and that's really for our listeners why I truly enjoy this book. I think it's a really good discussion starter for teachers and youth or parents and youth, just because some of the stories in here go into some really serious incidents of bullying, and some of them are things that you might see every day and you just sort of brush off and think, oh, well, that doesn't make my child a bully, or that doesn't mean my child is suffering in any way. So these are really good discussion points, I think, and these stories, I think, could help to get the conversation going in a lot of other aspects that bullying is happening. So before we close off, I just want to ask each of you one last question, sort of for Wheezy, what is the message that you hope to convey through this book? What do you hope readers will gain? And then for Stephen, just more broadly, I know you've done a lot of photography for books like this, and you work a lot also with children. What do you hope people will get out of the photography? What do you hope to capture? Because I think one of the things that we all wonder is, you know, am I getting from this what he's trying to pull out? And some of the pictures in here are very powerful, so I wanted to know what is your intent when you're capturing these people.
Well, this book, and I think when photographing people just generally, I think any photographer, including this photographer, really wants the viewer to for a single image to say a lot. The content, the words from the kids, and the their stories and the things that they've shared with Wheezy are so critical. But as a person turns the pages of this book, I would feel good. I'd feel like I did my job properly if the viewer was really pulled into the subject, into the person in the photograph, and really had that empathy. When I shoot, I tend to get in really tight. I tend to do a broader, more encompassing image that takes in a lot of the world of the person. But that's always balanced or even I don't know what the word I'm looking for here, but in a bigger sense, a portrait where the person's eyes, the old cliche about the eyes being windows of the soul and all that sort of business, can come into play. And so I wanted these photographs, I wanted you, the reader, to be drawn in and to have some, as close as you can, when you're just looking at ink on paper, have some close and personal relationship with this kid, this child who's been bullied. And have a bit of empathy, and then read into this story and how Wheezy has so wonderfully entwined the little quips and the stories that these kids have involved themselves in. Hopefully they balance each out, so you have really big photographs, really close-up photographs of people's faces, and then as we dive in deeper, we know why and who and how.
From my perspective, I think the message I'd like to convey through, that I hope is being conveyed through the book is that anyone can be bullied, and that telling an adult, you know, be it a teacher or a parent, is really important. It doesn't always work. It doesn't always end the bullying, but I think it's important for people who are bullied to share what's going on with other people that they trust and to let other people help them. I think that, you know, being bullied is nothing to be ashamed of. The shame is in the bullying, not in being the victim.
Yes, that's right.
And just to close out, I do want to really thank you both for your work on this book. I truly think it is a very powerful book, just with the work between the stories and the photographs. I think that it is truly one of the most powerful books out there that can be shared with young people and can really start a conversation. So if you haven't read the book, please visit www.circleofrespect.org to find out more about Wheezy and Stephen and their work around this book, as well as their other material. I want to again thank you both for joining us today, and thank you for being a part of the book club.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robin. It was wonderful talking with you.